Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you. We do have open lines right now, and we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. That's the number. Go ahead and dial it right now, so we'll have plenty of time to take your question and give you a good answer from the Word of God. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. Andrew Farley joins us today. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Well, it's always good to be with you. I think we're going to have a great time on today's broadcast, and lots of interesting questions that we've gotten through email. We've got some that have come to us overnight. But we want to start the program with this passage out of the third letter of John. It says this, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So truth is a distinguishing mark as far as believers are concerned. We're set apart by the truth of God. So talk to us a little bit, Andrew, about the importance of truth and how it will enable us to go against the current of the culture and truly live out God's desires for our lives.
Yeah, well, Jesus talked about this. I mean, he prayed to his Father that we would be set apart. He says in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. And then he says, your word is truth. And it's interesting because he says right before this, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So, again, we're aliens, we're strangers, we don't really belong here long term. And notice what sets us apart, it's what we believe, and specifically what we believe about Christ. So we're in a process, we are learning and we're growing, we're experiencing the renewing of the mind, but the world says find meaning over here, God says find meaning over here. The world says you're going to be fulfilled with this, and God says you're going to be fulfilled in that. And so we do have a collision of ideas. Every day, Bob, we are confronted with a choice in every moment, every second. And the Bible talks about two different walks. It says walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. So you say, well, what is that flesh walk anyway? Well, it's the old way to think. It's the old way to act. It's the old way to cope. It's the old way to get by. It's the old way of thinking and operating apart from Christ. But now we will never be apart from Christ. We're always in Christ. So this is why the Apostle Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So it's an ongoing adventure, the renewing of the mind. The world says, hey, it matters what identity you carve out for yourself. It matters what family name you have, what reputation you have in the world, how much money you've got, what kind of house or car or spouse or whatever. That's your identity. That's how you rank. And what friends you have, who you run with, what circles you're in, who you know, what kind of job you have. Then coronavirus hits, so many of us lose our job or lose our financial stability, and then we think we're on shaky ground. But really, Bob, I mean, our stability is in Jesus Christ, and that's something that is unshakable. It's something that's untakeable. Nobody can take it from us.
Absolutely. And I love when I think about the word truth, what Jesus had to say in John chapter 8. He's having this conversation with the Pharisees, and he had lots of conversation with those Pharisees, and he said, if you abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when the Son of God has set you free, you are free indeed. So this walk in the truth is really walking in freedom, isn't it?
Yes, the truth will set you free. So here's what I expect. As I get to know what Christ is really like in me, as I get to know the gospel, as I get to know the Father, as I see all that Scripture reveals, I'm not going to be more and more bound up. I'm not going to be more and more guilt-ridden. I'm not going to be filled with anxiety. Quite the opposite. Everything I learn about God is good. Everything I learn about Jesus is incredibly comforting and counseling. I mean, this is who the Holy Spirit is to us, our comforter, our counselor, our guide into the truth that sets us free. So, you know, I think religion out there, man-made religion, rule-based religion, sets us up to expect the worst. God is always frustrated, never happy. We can never quite let ourselves go, can't let your hair down, so to speak, always walking on eggshells. That's the expectation that religiosity sets up. And Jesus says, no, no, I'm turning that upside down on you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You're going to find rest. So who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the religious world that is bound up in rule-keeping and guilt? Or are we going to believe the Son of God who said that he came to set us free, that he came to give us rest, that relationship with him is easy and light?
And we certainly want you to experience that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus, one that is easy and light, one that is characterized by rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, one that is expressed in freedom that comes from walking in the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have questions about your walk with Christ, about your journey in grace, call right now, 844-322-2742. That's the number. Call it, 844-322-2742. This month, the month of October, we have a fantastic resource that we want to put in your hands. It's called Against the Current. You are a child of God. You are alive in Christ Jesus. Christ is alive in you. You've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, that's different from what you see out there in the world. So if you're going to live out who you are, you're going to go against the current. You're going to go against the culture that you see all around you. But good news, you have the power to do so. You have everything that you need. There is a wonderful quote by a British philosopher and writer, G.K. Chesterton. He said this: a dead thing can go with the stream, but only a living thing can go against it. Well, Christian, guess what? You are alive in Christ Jesus. Christ is alive in you, and he can animate you in such a way that your life is going to look different as far as this world is concerned. Well, this is all the things that we talk about in this particular resource, Against the Current. We want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift this month, The Basic Gospel. So if that's something that's of interest to you, I invite you to visit our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, and click the donate button and follow all the instructions there, and we'll get you a copy of this CD series, Against the Current, into your hands as quickly as we possibly can. Again, go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and request your copy of Against the Current. If you would like to give by calling, you can call that number, toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley joins us. We're going to go to our phone lines right now and start out in Garden Grove, California. And let's talk with Ron. Hi, Ron. You're on Basic Gospel.
Hi, Bob. Good talking to you again, everybody out there. And Andrew, I appreciate your ministry, and God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah. Bob, you know, I was reading in the Acts, you know, that Paul and James, they had a disagreement when Paul was called to the apostles to that first meeting in Jerusalem. And I was wondering, you know, when I go through the book of James, was he subtly, I mean, maybe not on purpose, but maybe he was or not, was he kind of mixing law with grace in his epistle?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Ron. It's certainly one that has caused people like Martin Luther and others throughout the ages to go, Hey, let's go ahead and have a moment of pause as we look at the book of James, especially the second chapter. It has baffled people. But our take is that the book of James is inspired by God, that it belongs in the Bible, that it's not somehow a second-class citizen in terms of being an epistle. So, you know, Ron, you look at the famous faith works passage in James chapter 2. That's the one that seems to cause the most confusion for people. And I think what you're seeing there is he's talking about a demon faith versus a human faith. He's talking about a dead faith versus a living faith. He's saying that even demons believe a bunch of stuff. I mean, they're monotheistic. They believe in one God. I guess if you gave them a doctrinal test, an exam on the Bible, then any demon could probably score 100%. I mean, you know, they're really good at facts and figures, and they know information about God, but they don't have saving faith. And so in right. James chapter 2, what he's saying is, hey, Ron, how is your faith different from that of a demon? Well, your faith came with a decision, just like Rahab made a decision to open that door for the spies. James says she was justified when she made that decision. It was faith plus her decision. So Rahab didn't open and shut that door 5,000 times over a lifetime and go, look, God, look at all the door opening I did. She really only opened it once, and God looked at that and said, now that is a response of faith. Same thing with Abraham. Right. You know, Ron, Abraham didn't offer Isaac 5,000 times over a lifetime. He offered Isaac one time, and God looked at that.
Exactly.
Yeah, he looked at that and he said, Abraham has responded with faith. So then, you know, in your life, Ron, I mean, God looks at your life and he says, Ron heard the gospel. Ron opened the door, just like Rahab. Ron opened the door of his life. Ron offered himself to me, just like Abraham offered Isaac. Ron offered himself to me. I came to take up residence in Ron. So Ron's faith is not a dead faith. Ron's faith is a living faith because it is faith and decision. You made a decision right. to open the door and offer yourself. So, I mean, that's my take on what James really means here. So for me, I mean, I see this epistle as beautiful. You know, James also talks about if you're a hearer of the word but not a doer of the word. He says, here's your problem. It's like you've looked in a mirror, the mirror of the Bible. You've looked in the mirror and then you've walked away and you've forgotten what kind of person you are. So you know, that's identity. And so
That's great, Andrew.
Yeah. So I agree that, you know, you look in the book of Acts, there's James is struggling some and Paul has to oppose him and James is off base at times. But ultimately, when we say that all scripture is God breathed and useful for teaching, then we can go back and look at this epistle and say, you know, the Holy Spirit really used James, imperfect James, James who was confused at times. The Holy Spirit used him to author this letter. And so it is a beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture. So I hope that clarifies and helps and encourages you, my friend.
Yeah. Let me add one little thing into this. And, you know, as I've been thinking about this question, and it comes to us very often about James chapter 2, you know, when we think of Paul, he's very, very strong. You're justified by faith, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's very clear there's no faith and works mixed into that. Yet in that famous passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is kind of the conclusion, the exclamation point of it, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I think that's what he's saying is the living faith, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. You know, Bob, just another quick one. You know, like this thing's going around now where they're talking about easy believism and grace and everybody stepping all over Jesus and things. And then you come up and you say, well, well, you just can't believe you got to do this, you know. Like, and then they go back and they James 2:19 it all the time, you know. They come up with that verse, you know, you do well even the demons. But I go back and I say, well, go to John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's believed all over the word, and these people are trying to use believe, saying that, you know, you got to do more than believe. I kind of don't agree with that. What do you think?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Of course, I mean, you know, the New Testament is peppered, whether it's Romans chapters 3, 4, 5, or as Bob said, Ephesians chapter 2. I mean, the New Testament is absolutely plastered with this idea that we're made right by faith, by grace, through faith. It's not of yourselves, so that nobody can brag, so that nobody can boast. Somebody says, well, that's easy believism. And I say, yeah, exactly. Thank God. It's
that's
not
exactly
hard.
Yes.
It's not hard. It's not difficult workism. It's easy believism. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And then he talked about those who believe are the ones who are made right. So there's a believism to it, and there is an easy and light to it. There is a rest for your soul to it, because the opposite is get busy trying and you're never done, because the standard is perfection. So I don't get it. I mean, if it's not easy and light, like Jesus said, then he's a liar. And if it's not believism, if it's not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, then Paul's a liar. So to me, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, let's get busy resting in what he's done for us, and stop trying to earn, thinking that we got to do something to get what we need from him, or we got to stop doing this or do that to get it. We already
right.
have it. Let's rest in it.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it's done. Right. Christ came and he gave us, you know, did it once and for all. He's not going to go back to the cross again every time, just like down there in 10:26 of
Hebrews.
You know, it's done. It's done. Okay,
yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Great. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Well, let's go to Garland, Texas, and talk with Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Terry. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was going to see what we could talk about with salvation.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have a particular question about it, Terry, or just salvation in general?
Salvation in general.
Okay, and you yourself personally, do you believe that you're a saved person, that you have Christ living in you?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about that, Terry, and how you got that way, and you know, what transpired at that moment. Bob, I think, you know, Terry brings us a topic that may seem general and so very basic. It may seem like a basic gospel, which is exactly why we're here, to talk about the basics of the gospel. But you talk about something that has layers and depth. I mean, you know, when you're a young child and you hear about getting Jesus in your heart, you imagine, okay, He's going to give me a ticket to heaven. He's going to give me a new place to live when I die, and that's salvation. Then others say, well, salvation is getting your sins forgiven. And what I love about what you and I proclaim every day is that, you know, salvation is more than your sins forgiven. Salvation is more than going to a new place when you die called heaven. Salvation is actually getting the life of Jesus Christ in us. I mean, he indwells us. He takes up residence inside of us. So he who has the Son has the life. Jesus is the life. So eternal life is not just some sort of gift package awaiting us in heaven. Eternal life is Jesus' life. And that's an incredible thing to realize, that, you know, when you open the door, like we were saying, when you open that door like Rahab, when you offer yourself to God, he does something incredible. He takes your life, and he takes it to the cross with him, and he crucifies you, he buries you, he raises you to newness of life, and then he joins you to himself, so that we become, as Paul said to the Corinthians, we become one spirit with the Lord. And so, you know, Terry and Bob, to me, that is the big deal of salvation. You're saved by grace. But what is salvation? It is literally being infused with the life of Jesus Christ, his resurrection life in us. And, Bob, that's just incredible to ponder.
Yes, it is. So, Terry, is all this making sense to you? You're getting kind of a broader understanding or a broader kind of hearing what this salvation is all about?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, very, very good. Well, let me do this for you, Terry. I want to put you on hold. We have some resources that we want to put into your hands. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which really kind of outlines what salvation is. And I think that will be a big blessing to you. And then we also want to point you to our YouTube channel. And I have a couple of videos there specifically about your question, what is salvation, and then how to be saved. So we just walk through that step by step, and we want to point you to that as well. So Terry, you hang on the line. Michelle or Stephen will pick you up and get your information, and we'll get this book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, into your hands. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling, Terry. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, Andrew, let's quickly listen to this call that came in overnight from Dustin.
Hey, I had a question. Jesus had eliminated my marijuana cravings, right? And I started thanking him, and I felt like that I should believe in his faith and things of that nature. And I'm starting to feel him inside my soul, right? And the past 2 to 3 days, I had a dream that Jesus came as the thief in the night. And I heard on the radio that Jesus will come as a thief in the night if you're doing something wrong. So why did I see those dreams right after I repented? Why did I see the thief in the night right after I repented?
Okay. Yeah, Dustin, appreciate your question. I mean, you know, this idea that the Lord's coming like a thief in the night, it has to do with the return of Christ, the physical return of Christ. That passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, and it has to do with the literal physical return of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to worry about some sort of dream you might have had. That's not the source of truth in your life. We always come back to what does the Scripture say? And, you know, I think it's fantastic that you've reached a point in your life where you saw, you know what, I'm addicted to marijuana. I've got a struggle with this substance. So I'm going to go Romans 6 in this situation. I'm going to count myself dead to that thought and dead to that addiction and alive to my God. And that's healthy. That's great that you turned away from that dependency on a substance and turned toward dependency on Jesus Christ. That's incredible. But as far as you're worried about the return of Christ, don't worry. If your sins are taken away, remembered no more, you're a forgiven person, and he has equipped you for his return.
Well, Dustin, thank you so much for calling. We hope that is a big encouragement in your life and will help you really allow this gospel message to sink deep within your soul and be the source of life in every area of life that you experience here and now. Well, thank you guys for joining us on today's broadcast. Andrew, as always, thank you for being here with us.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we'll look forward to having you with us again next week. Well, you have been listening to Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. As I said, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is Against the Current. It is a timely CD series. We have so much that we're seeing out there in the world, and so much that is just bombarding us. How do we stand out instead of blending in? Well, this particular resource will be a big help, a big encouragement to you to truly live out who you are in Christ Jesus. Visit us at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and follow all the instructions there to get your copy of Against the Current. Well, now for the entire Basic Gospel team, for Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.